And all around you, you see these humbled penguins and these emperor penguins all dressed up in their little Rocket Man suits.
And I think it's going to be
the touchdown brings me round to get too far. I'm not the mini thinker at home.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket penguin. And then you have all these other bats flying out of the tree.
More trained bats that just swarm around the square for like the next 45 minutes.
Yeah, and Batman gets shot off of a roof by police, and
Catwoman attacks him and eventually licks his nose in a way that is very disconcerting.
They right before she does that, Batman and Catwoman look at mistletoe that's right above them, and he says, "Mistletoe can be deadly if you eat it." And she says,
"Kisses can be more deadly if you mean them."
Yeah. And so that's when she licks him. She tries to get him with her claws, but he's smart because he's got this figured out.
Then he stands on the same stupid ledge as the chick who just died, flips out these exuberant wings of his own free will, flies down over the people being terrified by bats.
Not a good PR move, Batman.
Not a good PR move at all.
Not a good PR move for the world's greatest detective.
Good photo op, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Catwoman meets up with Penguin, and this is what I've dubbed the indecent proposal.
He pretty much is like, I want you to marry me so we could be in the mayor's mansion doing dirty dudes.
He says, you know, imagine it. I've had a hard day and you bring me my slippers. And she's like,
no,
bro, get bent. Have I not been against this the whole time?
She has, in my opinion, Catwoman owns her sexuality. And
she really do.
But she doesn't own it to attract other men. She owns it for herself. So when she is like talking very seductively, and when you first see her, she's like, I don't know about you, Miss Kitty, but I feel so much yummier. She's doing that for herself. Mm-hmm. There is no one else around aside from those cats.
Be about it. Own you, girl.
Seriously.
But then he wraps his parasol around her neck and sends her off for a death fall.
Because she, you know, was like, no, I'm not attracted to you.
Right. Now, later on in the film, she's going to say that she died 3 times. But at this point, in my notes, sorry for referencing my notes, but I am an artist. She's fallen to her death 4 times. She's fallen to her death from the building when she got pushed.
Mm-hmm.
She's been doused with acid, which made her fall against a building, but she could have lived or died against that.
Right.
Then she falls into the kitty litter, fall number 4.
Right.
And now she falls into a greenhouse where she screams and the whole thing shatters in a very dramatic way. Mm-hmm. That's fall number 4.
Right.
So I think 4, despite her 3 deaths raining on later on. So now Penguin takes control of the Batmobile.
Right. So we see the Penguin. He goes into this RV that says Cobblepot on the side, and he gets into a kid-sized version of the Batmobile.
One of those 25-cent machines that you like ride at the arcade.
I want one so bad.
I mean, if I'm going to take over your car, just know that I'm going to be in a tiny Batmobile.
And he gets onto a screen on Batman's car and like starts controlling the car when Batman's in there.
Batman puts in a CD that I thought was an antivirus when I first saw it, but it's actually a recording disc. He is CDRing that business.
Right. Batman's in the car and it's his Batmobile, and Penguin goes ahead and pretty much runs amok in the Batmobile in Gotham City and says things like, oh, what did I write down?
Himself like nobody's business.
He says bad jokes like, my license has expired and helpless old lady at 12 o'clock high. But he also says a couple of things that Batman can use against him, which we see in the following scene. Cobblepot has a press conference in which he's talking about how bad everything is and how he needs to be a mayor.
How he needs to be standing on a box because he's a half a foot below all of the microphones.
Like, I can see Naomi better than he can see his audience
right
now.
He really can't see anybody. And Wayne and Alfred are, like, at home. Wayne's dressed all in green in a way that I kind of like, but also disrespect. And they're like, this is the time.
Yeah. And so Bruce slides down from an Iron Maiden, which was interesting. Naomi pointed out in the movie that Iron Maidens were associated with, what was that, freak shows?
I think it's freak shows. It was a fabricated item. Like, they weren't used in the medieval age. It's definitely an awesome rock band, mm-hmm. but you're not going to find Iron Maidens everywhere.
But it's interesting because there's so much circus themes throughout this entire movie. It's just another layer of, you know, showing the circus in different aspects of this movie.
Yeah, like, why do you have an Iron Maiden in his house? Mm-hmm. Although, it turns into a slide, like the spikes. If you don't know what an Iron Maiden is, it's a kind of sarcophagus-looking thing with spikes inside, and you close somebody inside, and they get impaled on the spikes, and they die a slow, bleedy death, right? Well, Wayne enters this thing, he hits the button, the spikes retract, and he goes down a fun little slide, and I wrote, yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And they go into the Batcave, end up syncing up their frequencies, which is something that can totally be done because computers and lasers.
Did you notice on the CD player that he puts his CD in, it has a bat symbol on it? Like, he had to write that in somewhere.
I want to know the logistics of getting that done. Does he have just like this plastic mold that he just has like a bat stamp in?
What's little known is that Batman is really into resin casting.
Oh.
Okay, so he interrupts the feed and interjects all of these things that that the Penguin said during his hijacking that incriminates himself. Towards being against the people of Gotham.
Right. And it's so he at one point like scratches the CD as though it's a record because 90s.
But he's like, wicked, wicked, wow.
Pretty sure that's not how CDs work. And, you know, the crowd just turns on Oswald. And like Naomi had a very interesting point about saying, who brings fruit to
right. I wrote. So I was watching the movie for the first time. So I've watched it before when I was little, but I was watching it the second time and I wrote, who brings vegetables to a rally? Because they start throwing tomatoes and cabbages at him. And then the Penguin in this beautiful exposition goes, who brings tomatoes and eggs to a rally? And I was like, dang it. And I had to draw a line through it and like start from scratch. And I guess I'm not as witty as Danny DeVito.
And the Penguin goes ahead and fires bullets. So it gets everybody distracted.
He happened to bring a parasol that fired bullets.
Yeah. He leaves the crowd. He outruns the police.
Makes it back to the bridge, ironically, where his parents dropped him off as a wee little boy.
And he uses that same bridge to escape and go back home to the sewers, where he is greeted by one of his followers who says, great speech, Oswald. And he just smacks him with his parasol. And he says this beautiful speech.
He has a gorgeous speech here now, for real.
I wrote this entire speech down.
Hold on a second. Can I just point out that in this speech, he mentions that he's cold-blooded like a penguin, and that's not what cold-blooded is. Penguins aren't, and it makes me mad. So when you imitate him,
Shall I say metaphorically cold-blooded?
Just change your voice to make that part seem less important because okay. It's wrong.
Okay. My name is not Oswald. It's Penguin. I am not a human being. I am an animal. Cold-blooded. Crank the AC. Where are my lists? Bring me the names. It's time. These are the names of the firstborn sons of Gotham, just like I was. And like me, a terrible fate waits for them. Tonight, while their parents party, they'll be dreaming away in their safe cribs, their soft beds, and we will snatch them, carry them into the sewers, and toss them into a deep and dark watery grave.
This scene, which has very beautiful visuals in terms of like how the Penguin looks, mm-hmm. he looks like Gru.
I think at one point you said he looked like he was a Hot Topic. He looked like...
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't Gru.
No, sorry. Let's back up. You said
it's
he was...
Michael Keaton who looks like he fell face first into a Hot Topic because to make his mask work, he has a very beautiful smoky eye.
I thought it was the Penguin when he was the mayor. Because I was like, oh, you got my Penguin into my Hot Topic. You got my Hot Topic into my Penguin.
Well, that makes perfect sense, but...
No.
I was talking about Keaton's smoky eye.
Okay.
Never mind. We will discuss right at the end. I was looking at it and there is one accredited actress. Now there are penguins all around all the time. Mm-hmm. There's one accredited actress who always is only mentioned in the credits or the cast list as Penguin. And that is, and please shout out to Nikki Botello. Nikki Botello is the only actress or actor that I saw at all attributed as Penguin. And I would like to note that now because it's very important later on as we get towards the climax of our film. Mm-hmm. Because now we enter the Max Grade.
The Max Grade?
That's how Christopher Walken says it. It should be, I have a I'm sorry about this. I have a masquerade ball every he has a masquerade ball.
Yeah. Like every Christmas he gets a masquerade ball.
The political rally goes bad. Walken has already admitted to the Penguin that he's going to have this masquerade ball with all these famous people there. And Batman's going to go there and Catwoman's going to go there hoping to meet each other, kind of. Except Catwoman has a twist on it.
Yeah. So Bruce and Selina meet up and Bruce starts thinking maybe Selina's there for Max. And so she says, well, not in one way, but in another way, in a way that I plan on killing him. And Bruce is like, no, you can't do that.
She pulls a gun out of her garter belt like it's 1922 in the Old West.
I'd like to point out the garter belt goes with her dress.
It's pretty gorgeous.
Yeah.
And he's not like this noise. He's like, all right, let's work around this because I still think you're pretty freaking hot.
This has not turned me off one bit. And so they talk and Selina and he's like, who do you think you are? And she's just like, I don't know anymore. And that doesn't turn him off either.
He nuzzles into her neck, which I'm super into. And then she looks up at the ceiling.
And she says, kiss under the mistletoe.
Because there's mistletoe on the ceiling.
Mistletoe can be deadly if you eat it. And he whispers into her ear.
So is a kiss if. And then he realizes it.
Yeah, they both realize.
And he goes,
who each other are.
If you mean it.
Yeah.
And then my notes are like,
yeah, I know. And she sheds a tear. He brushes it away from her face. And then she's like, does this mean we have to start fighting each other? And he's just like, no. We're just going to walk out. And that's when the Penguin comes in. And just stops all of that.
If they hadn't started walking out, they would have been on the dance floor that the Penguin busts through.
They were going to do it.
They would have had coffee.
Yeah. They would have talked about it.
They might have gone out for tapas.
Yeah. And maybe there would have been some sexy times is all I'm saying.
They could have bat kittens.
Oh, cats with wings. Oh.
Yes.
Anyways, so Penguin crashes the party and is like, I'm going to go ahead and take your son, Shrek, because reasons.
Because I was the firstborn son and I'm going to kill all the firstborn sons. And then Shrek's like, you shouldn't take him. You should take me.
And the Penguin's like, okay.
Dead silence for me because I'm like, why did you flippity flop so freaking quick, man?
I wouldn't have. I would have been like, this guy just pretty much left me to carry all of the pieces. And I'm going to take his son because his son is the only thing that Max Shrek actually cares about.
Okay, so Wayne and Selina ghost on the party, right?
Right.
And then we cut to Vincent Scavelli, who I totally shook his hand once. Just going to say that every time until we get to the end. Well, this is the end of Vincent Scavelli in this film. He's got his monkey. He's ferrying the children around. And then he gets absconded with by the Batman.
Right.
And then the monkey, the organ grinder monkey, because that's Vincent's character, is the organ grinder. The monkey comes down to the Penguin and hands him a note, which is one of my favorite parts of the entire movie.
Because it's specifically stationary with the Batman signal on it.
It's Batman stationary, people.
And you know Alfred was the one who wrote that note.
Sorry, the children can't attend.
It's the kind of note that you would send when you're declining an invitation, which Bruce was thinking about doing to Max Shrek's party until he decided, no, Selina's going to be there and I'm going to go ahead and go. But it's kind of in that same vein because I guess reasons. I don't know. Was I the only one who kind of caught that? The genteelness of the way Batman could have written anything on that note. Like, no, the kids aren't coming.
It was very much just like very genteel. I agree with that.
You get a close up of the Penguin's face and then it turns into like this rousing speech.
I call it the rally of the Penguin speech.
You see all of these penguins with rockets strapped to their bodies.
Oh my goodness, it's so cute. They all have little outfits.
It's so cute. And he gives them this rousing speech about like, we're just going to kill everybody. And what does he say? The liberation of Gotham has begun.
So I, up to this point, thought that he was just going to murder all these penguins, but he was actually sending them out with little rockets on them.
Right. And so they go out and Batman is flying through the sewers trying to pick up on the signal. And then
hashtag bat hydroplane.
He goes, that fits in the sewers of Gotham. He planned this out.
I really think the Wayne Industries infrastructure facilitated the size of these sewers because WTF.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Penguin is watching as the penguins go into the center of Gotham, and penguins are about to launch the rockets when suddenly their signal gets jammed. And when they start moving away from the city center, that's when the poodle lady, who is doing the announcing of the penguins, she is narrating the path that the penguins are taking.
Her name is Anna Katrina.
Anna Katrina as the poodle lady.
A Katarina.
Katarina?
Katarina.
Katarina.
Anna Katarina, the poodle lady.
Anna Katarina, the poodle lady, is narrating the path that the penguins are taking, even when they turn around. And then as soon as they turn around, she recognizes that something large and something fast is coming to their location.
All the circus people freaking leave.
She leaves the best way, just fades into the background.
Yeah, she's in this little shelter in this arena, and she's just like, boy.
And you know she's got her poodle with her because she's always had that poodle with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the penguin sees everybody leaving, he's like, all right, fine, I'm gonna leave too.
Takes the duck, his little boat.
Yeah, that apparently now isn't just a boat, it's also a land vehicle.
And it's got the whatever for the penguins. It's the commanding the penguins.
Right. And so Batman sees that that's leaving through away, and he's like, oh, I can take this very convenient side path. And then they crash into each other.
Yeah, he like orchestrates it so that he smashes the penguin's duck. Toy duck boat.
And then he's like looking around and trying to find everything. And then he's like, well, it's not around here. I'm going to turn my back.
The penguin jumps off of the Batmobile onto him and tackles him to the ground. And it doesn't go very well.
He also says, you're just jealous because I'm a genuine freak and you have to wear a mask. And Batman's response to the penguin is, you might be right. It's wonderful.
So they wrestle around for a minute, and then eventually they like both get up on their feet, and then Batman shows that he's holding the homing beacon mm-hmm. for the penguins, and all around you see these Humboldt penguins and these Emperor penguins all dressed up in their little Rocket Man suits.
And I think it's gonna be long time. Sorry.
To touchdown brings me round to get too fine. I'm not the mini thinker, I'm at home.
Oh no. I'm a Rocket Penguin. Anyways.
So then the penguin, in one of my favorite lines, goes, my babies!
he gets the homing beacon for Batman, and he presses the button, and that's when the rockets all just go into this dilapidated zoo/theme park that...
Like, all these rockets, everything's blowing up. Like, it is just, like, miniature mm-hmm. vaporization pornography. Like, yeah. It's like, can we blow up that polar bear we showed you earlier? Can we blow up that... That shiny crab we showed you from Moana earlier? Could we, like... Yeah.
We mentioned that Shrek went with the penguin, right?
That the penguin went down to the hole.
No, that Shrek and penguin left. I don't think we had mentioned that Shrek was in a cage that was hanging over water.
And he was waving a little handkerchief at a monkey, hoping that it would work.
And then when the monkey gives him the keys...
The monkey has the keys.
And when he gets the monkey's attention to come over here so he can grab the keys, the monkey's expression is just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's the... I labeled it as the, are you seeing this shit, monkey? What?
It's pretty great.
Monkey shock, man. Shout out to...
Yeah,
those kinds of... I forget what kind of monkey it is. The kind of monkey from Friends. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And at one point, Penguin falls into the water, and then Shrek gets out of the cage, and...
But no, he almost gets out of the cage. He sticks his foot down, and then a whip grabs his ankle and trudges him into the water, where he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. But then there's that dead clown who contradicted the penguin earlier.
Yeah.
Who was like, maybe we don't kill the people. And Penguin's like, we're killing the people. I'm gonna start with you. And then the dead clown is at the bottom of the pool, and there's a gun, which has been waterlogged for the better part of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag gun enthusiast. And he like grabs the gun as he's in peril and then dragged out of the water by who has a whip in this entire industry?
Right. Catwoman.
Catwoman.
And so she pulls him out of the water and she's like talking about how everybody kills me. And Batman shows up. Yeah, Batman and Catwoman are there. And Shrek goes over to Batman and is like, you're not just saving a life. And Batman's just like, fuck you. And like,
he says, shut up. Him. Yeah, he totally slaps him in the face, which is super satisfying because he's like, you're not mm-hmm. the wounded spirit I'm trying to deal with right now. My lady's over there. And she's in some shiny playtex.
And so when Shrek realizes that Batman is,
latex, not playtex.
Okay. So Shrek kind of gets moved aside and it's just Batman and Catwoman talking. And, you know, she's like, the law doesn't apply to people like him or us. And he's just like, that's not true. We got got to take care of this. We got to, like, let's just take him to the cops. And then you could come and stay with me. And we could just have the greatest relationship of all time. He says,
then we can go home together.
And you said, because, like, you have not dealt with hostage negotiation, which she pretty much has a hostage, that would be like when you're trying to talk someone down from the edge.
It just doesn't work with me. That's just not the end game that I think would work. You know, like, we can just go home. No, there's going to be repercussions. Your business is coming down the line, Chica, for real.
Right. You got to deal with the shit that you're carrying with you.
Please note that we are about... Thank you for staying with us, applauders, because we are at now hour 1 minute and 53 of a 2-hour and 6-minute movie.
And she's still not convinced. And Batman rips off his mask, which at this point, if you've been paying attention to the movie, you will notice there is black eyeliner around where his eyes are.
He has a beautiful smoky eye. I'm going to say it again and again. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
He fell face first into a Hot Topic.
And so takes off the mask.
Please note that we're at minute 1:53 and 18 seconds.
Okay. He rips off the mask. No smoky eyeliner.
It's a little disconcerting if you're one person who's obsessed with a good smoky eye.
And Selena's just like, I would love to go ahead and live with you. I just couldn't live with myself. And Shrek says, Selena Kyle, you're fired. And then he goes to Bruce and he's just like, Bruce, why are you dressed as Batman? And Selena's just like, because he is Batman, you moron.
And he really is a moron.
He's just bad.
Okay, so when I was a little kid, I must have never gotten to this part, because when she happens to have the taser on her that she stole off of the clown in the beginning of the film. And Shrek, who I am forever picturing as an ogre when I talk about him outside of context of the movie, Shrek pulls out the gun that he's pulled from the water with the dead clown. He shoots Batman twice, who goes down.
He shoots. This is the revolver that I believe is supposed to be the revolver that Penguin had originally shot the dead guy who is around the gun. So it technically has 5 bullets left. He shoots.
I think it was a 10 shot. He shot the guy twice. Batman twice. I think there are supposed to be 6 bullets left in the gun.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but she at this point says she's spent 3 lives. Yeah. She's got 7 lives left.
She's
7, she's 8, 9. Okay. So she's got
6 lives left.
6 lives left.
Yeah. You killed me. Batman killed me. The Penguin killed me. That's 3 lives down. You think you got enough left in there to finish me off?
Shoots her twice.
Yeah.
Shoots her twice more. She's like, I got 2 lives left. I want to save one for next Christmas. He gets to shoot her again. Click.
Yeah. He can't shoot her after the 4th time he shot her. Like, he shoots her twice and then twice more, so that's a total of 4.
Uh-huh.
Why does this remind me of Clue so much? 1+1+1+2.
Tim Curry, solve our problems.
Oh, yes. Anyways, so he pretty much empties out the gun, and she's like, I've got 2 lives left. I think I'm going to save one for next Christmas.
And that's when he shoots and clicks, and there's nothing. And then she pulls out the taser, this industrial taser. And in a way that I don't remember from my ute, she like grabs onto a power line, lights up the taser, and goes in for a kiss. And I'm like,
I thought it was kind of fitting.
No, it was perfect.
Yeah. She's like electrocuting him, and
Batman stumbling up, and then the Penguin's like stumbling up as well.
Right. So Batman is stumbling up after getting shot once, and he has bulletproof armor. So I think this is supposed to show that she is actually losing the lives, because even though she gets shot, she doesn't get down. She's still pretty sturdy. Mm-hmm. And so, like, both of them are, like, there's, like, sparks and, you know, like, metal coming down. And then when everything's settled, Batman goes over to it trying to find Catwoman. And you see in the background the Penguin coming up. And he has, in the fight, been thrown through a glass ceiling and fallen into the water.
Yes. And he's like, I'm going to get you. And he walks over to his stand of parasols. And he pulls out the first one he can grab. And he opens up this one that he'd shown off earlier. That was just like, I'm gonna be the Pied Penguin of all these firstborn children,
right?
And he's like, oh dang it, I pulled out the cute one.
And it's so, I mean, it's kind, it's It's silly on paper, but the way that it's executed is so unbelievably moving, in my opinion.
You really do feel it for the penguin. Yeah. He's just like, oh, I'm gonna kill you, but first I need an ice cold glass of water.
And then he goes for the water, and then he just falls down head first without actually getting anywhere near the water. And that's when we see these wonderful people, or we see these penguins come out.
Nikki Botella.
See, like, there's like eight penguins that come out.
Botello.
And they come out and they drag the penguin into the water.
For his final resting place, because they're animals.
Even though he was cruel to the people of Gotham, these penguins respected him.
They were his babies.
They were his family.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful and touching.
So Batman sees Shrek's body dead. Mm-hmm. He knows that Penguin is dead. He doesn't find Catwoman. Cut to
the last scene.
The seventh day. Right? No, seventh day?
I thought that was the eighth day. We stopped keeping track, people. That's okay.
I think it's the eighth day. I think you're absolutely right. So Alfred's driving Bruce around. Mm-hmm. And he's just like...
And then he sees a shadow of Catwoman going into the alley.
Alfred, stop the car.
And so he goes into the alley, and what does he find?
He finds a little black kitten, not a Catwoman.
No.
Looks just like my cat kitten, who is, and I gotta say, for this actor cat, like, the cat's like, this fake snow is what?
He picks up the cat, carries the cat into his car.
My cat's like, I'm still covered in this white stuff. What is this even about?
And it kind of is like, he just carries the cat into the car and Alfred continues to drive on because there's no reason to stay out in the cold.
Oh my goodness. Can we just end it with Bruce's final words of the entire film? Because he brings it around and just, you know what he does? He solves the man-woman conflict.
Yeah.
He dissolves the patriarchy by saying he adopts the cat.
Yeah.
That's step one.
Alfred says, well, was like, come what may, Merry Christmas, Mr. Wayne.
And Bruce says, goodwill towards men. And women.
Scene!
It does cut up, and then you see Catwoman standing on the skyline, and I'm sure that's a very great closure for the rest of us.
It goes all the way up to the skyline, bat signal, and then Catwoman.
Okay, so that, my applauders, is Batman Returns. We've got some finishing business for this. The parallel between this and the last episode was the wrapped fish.
Right.
How would you compare the two films?
Both are odd concepts that are very well executed, in my opinion. Mm. I think Batman Returns has a few more shortcomings because there were a lot more, like, cheesier lines that didn't really punch as well as some of the other ones. Mm. But that was, like, the only thing that I would consider a shortcoming in the movie.
I thought there were a number of unshying away dialogues that were like, you know, this is banter that we don't need to be apologetic for, and I find that very compelling in a film. Mm-hmm. My next question is, would you or how would you recommend this film to a friend?
Probably. Okay. I would recommend this film to anybody. I mean, there are some gory moments. Definitely, like, rated as, like, a PG-13 mm-hmm, parental mm-hmm. guardianship of anyone who is 13.
You know your kids. You can tell if this kid will handle it or not.
Right, right. And if you know that this kid is going to handle it, definitely show it to him. Because, in my opinion, this is one of my favorite films. This is a good film, in my opinion.
Yes, like, I'm agreeing with you, because unlike our previous film, Tusk, like, I would pick and choose who I saw it with. Right. I would gauge their sense of humor. I would certainly pick the time and date I did it. It's not like after Nana's funeral, we're going to sit down and watch some Tusk or whatever. But I can't imagine a situation where I wouldn't enjoy watching Batman Returns again. Like, hey, it's Christmas. You want to watch a Christmas movie? I got one for you. Hey, it's late at night. We're hanging out. We got a crew to tape ladder. What you want to watch? I got you. I'm alone by myself. I got 24 hours left on this rental. What movie do I want to watch? Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch Batman Returns again.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those movies that has a lot of rewatchability for myself. Tusk, not so much. Though I wouldn't say that I feel like I've missed out by not, like I don't feel like my time has been wasted on either.
Yeah, I don't mind having watched Tusk twice. I think that it's something that deserves more than one viewing. Batman Returns, I think, deserves a place in the history of movies. I mean, not just if you're a Batman fan, but in terms of progressions of movies, in terms of merchandising later on, in terms of, like, just, it's complicated enough to keep your interest. It's visually compelling. It's musically engaging. Like, you're not going to find a part of this movie that you're bored by. So I would gauge anybody of, you know, 13 years or older in this film. Mm-hmm. Okay, my next question. Are you ready?
I don't know. go ahead.
You probably. Okay. This is the shocked part. What could you have done without?
What could I have done without? Like, if I had to remove an aspect of the movie,
mm-hmm.
even though I said, like, the lowest points were some of those bad jokes, they didn't need to be in there. I think it kind of offsets. Like, here's the thing. You don't want an entire movie to be, like, super epic. This is kind of my problem with Zack Snyder films. Every scene is, like, an epic moment. But you don't have any real downtime. You don't have anything to really compare it to. So I don't mind the... I wouldn't take anything out of it, even the bad parts. I guess there's just a part of me that feels like you kind of need some bad parts in order to appreciate the good.
I'm going to agree to disagree, but only because I cannot stand the penguin being sexual.
Okay. Okay, that is a very fair point.
Every sexual joke the penguin makes, I could do well without. I would rather him be gorier. I would rather him be more violent. I would rather him be more out of step with, like, so many different cultural things, but if he could just be less sexual, I would be super down. I'm sorry. It makes me so uncomfortable.
That is a completely fair point.
Okay.
Thanks. That is a very fair point.
Okay. My next question. My conclusionary question.
Is this the last question?
This is the last one before we do our little outro.
I didn't realize there was going to be a quiz after
this. No. I just think it's really good to have a finishing
move.
No,
that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. Who is your winner for best actor or best contribution? What compelled you the most about the film throughout the entire thing?
Not necessarily actor, or just like
it's either or. Like in Tusk, there were certain acting elements that were just so compelling, like the dinner scene
mm-hmm.
that just like that locked me in. I was like, you know what, I will forgive all manners of bullshit for this scene,
mm-hmm.
but for Batman Returns, what like locked you in?
Oh,
what was like applaud?
I would have to say it is the relationship between Batman and Catwoman, because this is a relationship I will always go back to. This the way that the relationship comes together between Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle, Batman and Catwoman.
I think
Catwoman.
You mean Selina Gomez. Selena Kyle, and I've learned my lesson.
Okay, so the relationship between the two of them, I think, is like the sticking point for myself. That is definitely like that is the yolk of the egg. That is the almond in the chocolate bar with almonds. Sorry, I can't. Apparently, I'm not very good at analogies.
No, that's good.
But it is the best part.
Comparatively, for myself, I'm going to have to say that I love Catwoman in this mm-hmm. film. As much as I've loved, I mean, I grew up on the 70s sitcom replay on Nick at Night, God bless. And as much as I grew up on the cartoon, Adam West is my Batman and Mark Hamill is my Joker. Mm-hmm. And but like forever, Danny DeVito is going to be my Penguin.
Great.
I love Eartha Kitt as Catwoman. She's definitive. But I got to tell you that I found myself a lot in Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right.
I was like, you know, you don't have to apologize. And no, sometimes you got to punch low. And I think that the fact that she's so self-made and she's so FU to this system that has just dogged her for so long, like, I could do without Keaton. Just her, like, the entire film, mm-hmm. like, I would have been super down. But I think that's probably why I wasn't a huge fan of the Catwoman movie
yeah.
that came out whenever it did.
With Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted that. I wanted it. She's gorgeous. There were so many, well, good mm-hmm. things about that film, but... And maybe in another podcast we will discuss that film. But Michelle Pfeiffer in my heart forever for this film. Absolutely. Yeah.
I do not disagree with any point. The decisions to your answers make complete sense.
Also, yeah. the romantic interlude mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense too. They're unapologetic about it. Like the things that attracted her to him.
It's not because they're romantic with each other. It's because they both have this. I mean, Bruce says split down the middle. They both have this alter ego, and they both cope with trauma in a very similar manner.
That is right.
And that's why I love them as a couple, and why it's just like them finding each other is kind of like you're finding your soulmate.
But I think that pretty much sums up our Batman Returns 1992
podcast episode.
Yeah, of Shocked and Applaud.
Yeah. So this has been Lydia Malcolm.
And a Naomi McQuaid co-hosted production.
Yeah, a co-hosted.
Thanks goes out to our editor, Jonathan McQuaid, who suffers through a lot to do this for us and you guys. And we hope that you had a good time with us.
Yes. Yes. So go and watch the movie, or, you know, don't watch the movie. Tweet us or don't tweet us.
We walked you through. Either you're nostalgic enough to go back, intrigued enough to try it out, or you were with us on the entire journey and you're about done.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep our next movie a surprise until next time.
Yeah, we have a growing list.
Yes, it's going to be amazing. So feel free to message us. Jonathan might interject with our socials after this. And we hope that you are doing awesome and being awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right. See ya. Talk with you guys later.
Absolutely.
Bye,
guys.
Because seeing on a podcast is impossible.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Did you elect to endure our entire three-part review of Tim Burton's Batman Returns Applauder? We wondered if you'd still have ears after this year's midterms, let alone over 100 minutes of girl talk on the go, Catwoman style. Good on you for keeping your cheer levels up, because our endurance tests have only just begun. Hey, this is your audio engineer and hands-over-eyes enabler of younger audiences, Jonathan, congratulating you on your completion of this episode. Did you know that as a Patreon applauder of $5 per month or more, you get our unbleeped higher quality episodes? Well, you should know that now, because it's what I just said. Also, you'll get additional blog content to keep your pocket vaults full of priceless Shocked and Applaud gems. Can't do a fiver? We've got options, and we really want to unload some free stuff on you to show you how much we appreciate your support. Gotta be free? Share our episodes with others by visiting shockedandapplaud.com or search for us on iTunes, Google Play, and more, so we can reach others who can boost our strangely satisfying signal. That's a Batman throwback, because we just did Batman. We'll be back in only 1 week with Episode 3, Part 1. And straight on through that weird dinner table scene we sometimes freak out about this time of year. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.